Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Well, we've got one of these to be living in the Wilkin house right now. My grandson just went into four-wheel drive yesterday, full-time crawling, not just commando crawling, full-time four-wheel drive crawling, and very soon walking, and that makes him a toddler to be. We're having a conversation with Anna Mussman, living with toddlers, and thank you for joining us for part two of it. Anna Mussman is a stay-at-home mother of two children. She's author of the blog Sister, Daughter, Mother, Wife, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Seven Proven Ways to Stop Complaining and Enjoy Your Toddlers. Anna, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thanks so much for having me.
You talk about the difference between management, teaching, and discipline. Let's take those three in that order. What is management when it comes to raising toddlers?
Management is, in general, the planning part, you know, the troubleshooting part. You know, if I were to set the table for a group of small children, and there were several little girls there, and I put one pink cup on the table, there will quite likely be a few conflicts there. So management would be making sure to either have a cup for each child that they're likely to like, or having a system where they'll take turns. You know, with management, you have a lot of tricks for organizing things and preventing problems.
How is that different from teaching?
And with teaching, we're actually working with a child instead of just trying to arrange the situation ahead of time. With teaching, we're working with the child and making sure that they know exactly what we want them to know. I had a moment with my son a while ago. He's pretty young still, and he was running with a stick, and I asked him to stop. And I think in his little head, he didn't actually fully realize what I wanted him to do. I wanted him to stand still with his stick, and it seemed obvious to me. But I realized that we actually needed to practice this. So he would run, and I would say, okay, stop, red light. Remember, when we say red light, we don't move our feet. And we practiced this a few times, and then he got it. And now he knew what he was supposed to do when I called out, stop, and he's running around with a stick.
Then discipline. What would you say about that?
And discipline is the part that's not usually as fun, the part where we show our children that, yes, you do actually need to do the things that I, your mother, or that we, your parents, have told you to do, even when you don't want to do it. And we could think of discipline as well as follow-through. Discipline as taking action, giving negative consequences when the child chooses not to do what they should do. I think it's helpful to talk about discipline last, because sometimes as parents, I think we end up using discipline to compensate for not having managed or not having taught. You know, if my son running around with his stick, I could have disciplined him for not stopping, but I think it wouldn't have been helpful because I think he hadn't actually learned what I meant precisely with those words. So the discipline is something that it shouldn't be used to compensate for the other things, but it is necessary to back them up and make them successful, because we can't just sort of manage a child's environment and let him be a complete wild, crazy, heathen barbarian. Things would not go well.
It sounds like you're saying you got to be at least three steps ahead of your toddlers.
It helps. It definitely helps when you can do that. And I think when the parent is able to do that, those are the days that go more smoothly.
All of these three things that you've talked about, management, teaching, discipline, they kind of are woven together. They're not really easy to separate from one another, are they?
That's true. I think in terms of the parent's actions, they're all mixed together. For me, I find it intellectually helpful to think of them as different in my mind and to be conscious of which one I'm trying to do in a given moment.
Another piece of advice that you give is to go fewer places, have less stuff. You start out by talking about always being in a hurry. Why?
Well, when you have small children, if you are in a hurry, things tend to not go well. A lot of the little things that toddlers really love and need, you know, being able to sit there and wash their hands and feel like they can't leave until they've watched the water swirl through the sink or whatever it may be, tend to be problems when the adult is in a hurry, because that just doesn't kind of click for the toddler mindset. So I find that when I become stressed with my children, it does tend to be because I'm trying to get them somewhere and take them somewhere quickly. And sometimes it's because I'm trying to take them somewhere that is for their own benefit, some fun class or activity that I thought I should add to my schedule for their sake. And I realize that actually they are happier people and I'm a happier mom and probably a better mom if we try to not add in too many things, if we just take time to play and create and move most of the time at a toddler pace. They need to learn how to move quickly sometimes, but not always.
Why are fewer toys maybe better than more?
I think a lot of parents have noticed that sometimes when you give a child a wonderful present for Christmas, they like to play with the box. And it's really interesting which things a toddler will spend a lot of time on. And I've noticed that if the room has fewer toys, my kids will actually play for a lot longer and they'll be more creative with their play, maybe because they're not distracted by all those other things and they tend to take care of those toys better. And life is smoother. I'm not rushing around trying to clean up excess toys, and they are happier people.
So you're kind of using a natural tendency of the toddler, which is to get bored fast, to their advantage.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
And you say one thing very important, especially for Christian parents, is to pray for your children. What are you talking about there?
Absolutely. I think as a parent of a toddler, maybe one reason why I can become upset when I have little issues with my children or when they display the more sinful aspect of their humanity is because I feel the responsibility to do a good job as a parent. And when I'm able to pray for them, it's a reminder to me that I'm not the one ultimately in charge of them. That's actually God, and He's the one who loves them more than I can, and He's the one who will care for them and keep them in their baptismal grace. And so, of course, we should pray for all of those we love, but it is especially helpful to me as a parent to pray for my children.
You advise that you pay attention to something that toddlers usually have in vast quantities, and that is the cuteness. What are you talking about?
That's right. That's right. I've noticed a few times if I had a rough day with my children, I stop noticing how cute they are. My husband will come home and make some comment about, oh, did you see what that child did? And wasn't that adorable? And it's almost as if my cuteness radar has kind of lost its power from a rough day. And I realize that if I actually cultivate paying attention to how cute they are, because they're adorable and they say the funniest things, if I cultivate paying attention to that, it helps me think about that. It helps me notice that. And I try to share some of those little stories with my husband or with the children's grandparents, because it is a way to help me at the end of the day be thinking about the things that make parenting so fun and so rewarding instead of the challenges.
Two final questions for you. There is this, we have the terrible twos, we have all those kinds of alliterative ways of describing toddlers. Why is it just a good idea not to fall for, even though the kids can go through those phases, not to fall for those kinds of generalizations about our own toddlers?
I think we're very conscious of how using labels about adults can have sort of a negative impact. People of my generation don't really like it when we hear older people start talking about, oh, you know, those millennials, you know, they're pretty much all spoiled, no good people. And, you know, or older people, I'm sure, don't like to be characterized. We certainly don't want to characterize people by race or things like that. And we want to remember that those labels, they can have a negative effect on children, too. It can help it make it harder for us as parents to notice the wonderful things about our children. But it can also kind of hide the need to build a relationship with our children. It can make us act as if, oh, well, we just need to wait out this bad period, instead of, this is my child and I want to put in the work of having a good relationship with this child, because good relationships do rest upon a foundation of effort and work and dedication.
One of the things I found, not only in raising my own kids, of course, this is always done imperfectly, Anna, But now we have a grandson in the house with us. And he's going to be entering that toddler phase in no time. And one of the things I've discovered, and this has only come with age and wisdom, is what often kept me as a father from really enjoying my kids at every stage was the idea that I had something better to do. Instead of to realize that when I'm at home with them and my responsibility is them, there is nothing more important in the world for me to be doing at that moment. This is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. What do you think?
I think that's a really wonderful point. And I think sometimes people who don't enjoy sitting down and playing with children wonder if they'll do a good job as a parent. But I've definitely found that playing with children and enjoying them is something you can actually learn, at least with your own children. And I've also grown in learning how to sit down with my children and enjoy them and have fun with them and remember that they're not going to be here forever. They are going to grow up, and this is my chance to sit down and build a special tower out of Duplos.
I think I can hear them in the background. So as a mother of two toddlers, how has it been going so far for you today?
Well, today we have cold, so we had a disastrous non-nap with the one-year-old. So she'll be going to bed very early, but we've also had some fun with Play-Doh. The three-year-old is learning how to use cookie cutters and make things out of the Play-Doh, so he's really happy about that.
Anna Mussman is a stay-at-home mother of two children, author of the blog Sister, Daughter, Mother, Wife, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Seven Proven Ways to Stop Complaining and Enjoy Your Toddlers. You can read it and her blog under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Anna, thank you very much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is with us for part six of our weekly series, Liturgical Boot Camp for Evangelicals. We're going to be talking about preaching on the other side of the break.
Emily finally had to face the truth. Her church choir was a mess.
Katie Schuerman from her new audiobook, House of Living Stones.
Sure, they'd managed to turn out a few decent choral offerings for Sunday worship every now and then, but their confidence and morale were presently hanging lower than pants on a wrapper.
You can purchase and download an audio version of the novel House of Living Stones at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. House of Living Stones by Katie Schuerman.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Christians young and old are increasingly pressured to change their beliefs. That's why St. Jude said we need to contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. At the San Antonio Worldview Conference, Confessional Lutherans Jonathan Fisk, Jay Weber, Ryan McPherson, and Craig Parton will unmask the false, direct us to Christ and His Word, and defend the faith. The San Antonio Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 11th, San Antonio, Texas. Visit worldviewsa.org. worldviewsa.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Christmas is a holy day, not just an ordinary holiday. It's when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's why Emmanuel Press keeps Jesus as the focus of all their Christmas cards. And that's why they use the words of Scripture and the poetry of hymns inside the cards to confess our hope in Christ. Visit their website at emmanuelpress.us to see a variety of cards, including a brand new card for 2016. emmanuelpress.us.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.